Have you ever gotten so caught up in the little things that you completely miss the big picture? Grab your coffee and join me as we look at a powerful story this morning that reminds us to keep our eyes on Jesus so we don't miss the miracle right in front of us. Have you tried to park on a college campus recently? Man, it can be the worst. At most campuses, there are these parking attendants who carry around a little handheld device to issue tickets to those who are breaking the law. Now, I get it. There are laws for a reason, and I want those that are disabled or have limitations to have the closest spots. I want people to park inside the line so it doesn't ding my car when someone gets out next to me. And, of course, I want to make sure that visitor spots are for visitors. But sometimes, let's just be honest, sometimes it gets a little ridiculous. I feel like they're just hiding behind a car or a tree and they're just waiting for the next person to pull in and get out. Maybe if they get their tire too close to the white line, I don't know. There was a time when a new parking lot was added at Arkansas State when I was going to college there. And at the time, it was just this huge gravel lot, and it was horrendous trying to figure out the parking there, let alone what the rules were. And there was no actual defined spaces, yet you could get a ticket if you weren't in one. It really was insane. Okay, so sometime back, I took this group during the summer to the campus for a tour. And we had a large cooler and a bunch of supplies with us to unload. So we tried to find the closest available space to the building that we were going into. Well, right across the street, there were a few spaces where you could parallel park. And one of them, it was crazy, but it just happened to be open. There was no handicap paint or sign. There was nothing to indicate that it might be for faculty or that it was paid parking. It was just open. So we all kind of did this little mini celebration at finding such a great spot and not having to carry the cooler so far. When the tour was over that afternoon, we went to load my car back up, and there was a little white piece of paper tucked under my windshield wiper. A ticket. For what? Well, it stated that I had parked in a faculty spot. And I was shocked. I walked around the car, double-checked everything to make sure that I didn't miss something, but sure enough, there was no sign out there. I even snapped a picture for proof. And then I pulled out of the spot and I took another picture of the space itself because, again, there was no markings of any kind. Now, this was a Friday afternoon, and I knew that there would be nobody in the office, of course, and so I would just call on Monday morning, because apparently the only people that were working on Friday afternoons were the parking attendants. So Monday rolled around, and I called the office to get this crazy ticket squared away. And their response was that it's a faculty parking spot. And I explained how there were no signs, there was no paint, there was nothing that indicated any of that, and that I had pictures to prove what I was sharing. And this is what she told me. She said, well, we're updating some of the spots and the sign hasn't been posted yet, but it's marked on the campus map online, so you should have checked that before you parked there. I should have checked the map online. I was a little frustrated, I'll admit, and I think part of it, too, was because she was so adamant and that she was right and that I would have to pay that fine. She didn't care about why we were there. She didn't care about what we were doing or that I had brought 20 potential students to her campus or that she was wrong. So after a lot of back and forth, I asked to speak to the director, and in the end, I did not have to pay the fine. You know, oftentimes we're so bent on our agenda that we miss something that's incredibly important. Let's grab our Bibles. I want us to get back in the book of John this morning, and I want to show you a similar story. You can open it up to John chapter 5, but before we read, let me kind of set the story for you. In Jerusalem, there was a pool called Bethesda. Many of the people who were sick or disabled would go to this pool hoping to be healed. An angel would stir the waters of the pool at a certain time, and the first person to be in the pool would be healed. Well, Jesus was in town for a festival, and he saw a man sitting close to the pool. So let's look at verse 5 and let's read. Now a certain man was there who had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he already had been in that condition a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to be made well?" The sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no man to put me in the pool when the water is stirred. But while I am coming, another steps down before me." Jesus said to him, "Rise, take up your bed and walk." And immediately the man was made well. He took up his bed and he walked. And that day was the Sabbath. The Jews therefore said to him who was cured, "It is the Sabbath. It is not lawful for you to be carrying your bed." And he answered them, "He who made me well said to me, 'Take up your bed and walk.'" And then they asked him, "Who is this man who said to you, 'Take up your bed and walk?'" But the one who was healed did not know who it was, for Jesus had withdrawn and a multitude being in that place. Afterward, Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, "See, you have been made well. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon you." The man departed, and he told the Jews that it was Jesus who had made him well. Wow. I mean, how amazing is that? This man, lame for 38 years, desperate for help, was healed immediately by Jesus. I can't imagine all that he endured as he laid by that pool day after day, year after year, just hoping for someone to help him, only to get close and then someone beat him to the water. See, there were four things that Jesus did for this man. Jesus saw him, he called to him, he healed him, and he commanded him. This miraculous healing was evident for everyone to see. I mean, anyone who had ever been to that gate would have seen this man there for the last 38 years. They knew him. They knew this disability. But there was only one thing the Pharisees saw: him carrying a mat on the Sabbath. See, these religious leaders were constantly roaming, seeking out people who could be breaking the law. They reminded me of those campus attendants with those little handheld devices. But see, carrying a mat wasn't really against the law. The Pharisees had added things to God's law, more like traditions or rules of their own. In their mind, carrying a mat was work. Therefore, it was unlawful on the Sabbath. They could pick apart any little thing and call it unlawful. And while their focus was on this horrible crime, they missed the miracle right before their eyes, which led them to missing Jesus altogether. Will others miss Jesus because of us too? What are we demonstrating to them? A love for Jesus or tradition? Do we extend forgiveness or guilt and shame? Still today, Jesus does for every man what he did for that beggar that day. Jesus sees us, he calls us, he offers to heal us, and then commands us. So which type of follower will we be? I'd love to spend some more time with you and talk some more about this morning if you've got a few more minutes. I just want to send you a few questions that'll help kind of take a deeper look into this topic. If you haven't signed up for the text yet, all you have to do is just text the number on your screen. Thanks for joining me this morning. I hope you enjoy your day.